Again, my name's Kenneth, and I'm an addict, and I like to welcome everybody to this workshop. At this time, I would like to take this time to introduce our first speaker just for the day. That is.
Mag, my name's Thaddeus. First thing I would like to do is thank God for letting me be here. It's only through God's mercy and grace. I always say that, guys, when I come up, when I first got here, I would hear people say that. You know, it's only through God's mercy and grace. And I was, wondering, why would people say that? But I understand, since being here, I understand why they were saying that, because I understand what mercy and what grace is. Mercy being justice held back, grace being something given and not deserved. And when I look at my story, I probably don't deserve to be here, but I'm glad for the intervention that was made in my life, and he forgave me, and I'm standing here amongst you. You know, I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be a part of this workshop. I'm honored to be up here on this same podium with one of my predecessors who was here before I got here, who helped lay the groundwork for this thing called recovery. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through D.C. Area H&I Subcommittee. All I'm going to say about that is that they told me to go to a meeting, raise my hand, and let people know that I was just out of treatment and see what would happen. Scared to death when I got here. Had no vision, had no hope, could not see tomorrow. All I could see was right now, and I was hurting. But I did it. I took the suggestions. I didn't buck when I got here, okay? And I went to a meeting, and it was so funny when I reflect back on my process on getting here, on some of the things that happened, because very, very early on, I was given a sponsor. I didn't pick my own sponsor. Some guys in the rooms who knew me and probably knew that I wasn't going to go to a meeting, get a sponsor, pray, help somebody. Definitely they knew I wasn't going to stay away from negative people, places, and things. So they said, Thaddeus, this guy's going to be your sponsor. And back then, I had the whys, and I don't know if anybody could relate to that. When he would tell me, he said, well, look, Thaddeus, what I want you to do, I want you to call me every day. And I would say, why? He said, the reason I want you to call me every day because we need to build this relationship. You need to get comfortable with me, and I need to get comfortable with you, because you're going to find out as you stay here, that relationships was your biggest problem. Right now, you think drugs is your problem. And I did, because I was brand new, because I couldn't. A lot of stuff they would tell me in the beginning, drugs is not your problem. And I said, you crazy. Drugs not my problem. Look at my life. I'm here. Stay here. You'll find out, Thaddeus, the drugs were just a symptom of a much bigger problem, your inability to deal with life. Right? And I thank God for the sponsorship, because he said, well, I'm going to give you another suggestion. What I want you to do, I want you to go to a meeting every day. I said, why? He said, the reason why I want you to go to a meeting every day is because you need to be around people just like you. People who have probably been here a little bit longer than you. People who understand your dilemmas that you're going to go through. Now, I want you to sit up front right now, Thaddeus, just right now. I just want you to listen. I said, why? He said, the reason you need how to listen because my experience is that you have to stay clean long enough to get some experiences clean, because when we're talking about sharing our experience-driven hope, we're talking about clean. Tell me about some of the things you go through clean and don't use. Right now, you don't have a clean message, Thaddeus, that you can share. So you got to get some experience so you can share with people how you got through that experience. So just learn to listen right now. And the other thing I want you to do, when you wake up in the morning, I just want you to hit your knees and say, thank you. Just say, thank you. At night before you go to bed, hit your knees and say, thank you. Because you're going to find out if you stay on this path long enough that the only thing that's going to stand between you and using might be the relationship that you have with your higher power. And what has happened over the years for this addict, I understand and I can see my process, how my prayers have changed from when I first got here. Because all my prayers in the beginning was very self-centered. God, I want this. I want a job. I want a relationship. I want some more money. Right? But as I have stayed clean over the years as a direct result of the program, as a direct result of the step work, as a direct result of you people, my prayer life has changed. My prayer life has gotten more God-centered now. I have learned how to pray for people. Isn't that amazing? When you can pray for somebody that you don't particularly like. Boy, when they're talking about spiritual, because I remember God would say at a meeting, boy, that spiritual matters don't make no intellectual sense. And it went right over my head, and I didn't understand that until the guy broke into the house and hit my mother. Right? And when I found out he had broke in and hit my mother, you know, naturally all the recovery went out the door. And I wanted to find him and do something to him. But God being the way God is, he intervened, and I wasn't able to find the guy. And I called my sponsor. And my sponsor, you know, he walked me through the whole process. And he told me I'm going to have to pray for the guy. That's a big piece, accepting something that you cannot change, which I did. And I was able to pray for him, and I was able to get through that whole scenario without self-destructing. But getting back on what I was sharing, my sponsor, you know, early on, you know, when I first got here to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, you would go to meetings and you would hear people say, well, you know, if you want to use, raise your hand, tell somebody. Then you would go to another meeting and they would say, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. It was very, very confusing. And I remember going to this meeting, and I'm new. My sponsor told me not to share, and I took the suggestion. But this particular day, I wanted to use, guys. I really, really wanted to use. And I remember raising my hand in the meeting, and the guy was calling on people. And I had my hand up. He just wouldn't call on me. And maybe he didn't see me. So I took a risk, and I stood up. I said, my name is Thaddeus, I'm an addict. I want to use, I feel like shooting some dope, I feel like getting high, I don't know what to do. And I'm sharing, and a guy all the way in the back of the room, and I'm going to try to keep this clean. He said, sit your ass down. I don't hear that shit. And I remember sitting down, and I said, oh my God, what did I do? Did I say something wrong? And I felt the whole time I was sitting there, I was getting angry. This anger was coming over me. And I remember they had the secretary's report, and I got up and eased out of the meeting and went outside. And that time I was smoking cigarettes, and I smoked a cigarette, and I was standing there. And I said, when this dude come out the meeting, I'm going to see, you know, if he's going to talk to me the way he just talked to me. And it was a guy that was in the room that was watching the whole scenario take place. He watched me. He came out of the meeting, and he put his arms around me. He said, how you feeling? I said, I don't know. I said, why did that guy talk to me like that? He said, oh, don't worry about him. He's been here a long time. He's not working on nothing. He said, but what I want you to take from this, if you ever stay here that long, don't you treat nobody like that. He said, this is a loving and caring program. Now, what I got from that and what I understand, and I didn't understand it then, when we're talking about learn how to accept people where they're at, he gave me what he knew to give me. That's where he was at. Okay? The 12th step talks about practicing these principles in all our affairs. I remember Tom used to say, Thaddeus, in all your affairs. So, you know, when is this the hardest time for me to practice principles in my affairs? When you're not practicing principles in your affairs. But we have a responsibility to help each other, because this is what my sponsor said. He said, Thaddeus, every year you stay clean, I want you to go back to that meeting and find that guy and give him a hug. You don't have to say anything to him. Just give him a hug. You have a responsibility to help him. But the big piece is that you need to get all right with what that is. And that was always my dilemma. Never being able to accept Thaddeus for where Thaddeus was at. One of my issues, I never loved myself, guys. Self-acceptance was a big piece. I always wanted to be somebody else. They never wanted to be who I was. I was so busy thinking about what was going to happen tomorrow, I could not enjoy what was happening right now. When I look back at my story, when I would get high, I'm thinking about how I'm going to get the next one. Okay? And so I understand the process of getting here and learning how to forgive self, learning how to love self, and that process came about as a direct result of the steps. My sponsor got me into step work very, very early. He said, Thaddeus, this is going to be your survival kit, because you're going to find out what he had told me, and it went over my head, that when you stop using drugs, You don't have a problem with drugs. Now, that really eluded me. He said, what you got a problem with is dealing with life, dealing with relationships, dealing with acceptance, dealing with tolerance, dealing with patience. Learn how to navigate through the ups and downs of life without reverting back to using drugs. So if you don't change, because when we're talking about the spiritual awakening that arises as a direct result of the steps, we're talking about a holistic change with the person. Not using, yeah, you can just stop using. But if you continue to do the same things that you was doing when you used, it's just a matter of time before you use again. So I'm glad, I thank God for him. I thank God for the predecessors that I would hear in meetings that hit bottoms clean. That was my indication that I need to come in here and get work. Because what happened, even after coming in here getting busy and getting work, life is life. I'm not one to say that life showed up. Life is always here. I never showed up for life. And the process of the steps has helped me do that. When things go not the way that I want them to go. I remember when my father died. I had 9 months in the program. Thank God I was going to meetings. I would hear people talking about having deaths, getting diagnosed with diseases. And always at the end, they say, I didn't use. Right? I had no idea God was preparing me. He was putting me in position because he already knew. And my father died. He put me, and when I'm talking about grace and mercy, he placed me in a position at the hospital, the same hospital that might put my father in, 9 months clean. I was working at the hospital. And I could be there to help change him, to help feed him, because he was dying of cancer. And I was in so much denial in the beginning because my father was deteriorating in my eyes, but in my mind, he was going to get up out that bed. Because denial is the inability to recognize a problem in the face of evidence that you got a problem. I just couldn't see that he was dying. Right? And he was dying. But I didn't recognize God had placed me there. 9 months clean. And I remember before he closed his eyes, he said, all I ever wanted to see was you get your life together. Right? And he closed his eyes. And he died. And they called me. I was on lunch. And they told me to report to the warden. Something hit me in my gut. And I said, my father's gone. And I got there. And I never forget this. It's the importance, newcomers, when we're talking about coming in here and being a part of this program and keep coming back so people will get to know you. Because I'm brand new. A lot of people didn't know me. But that facility, that hospital he was in, was a lot of people in recovery that worked there. And when I got there, my sister met me. She said, Daddy's gone. And we embraced, and I started crying. And I looked in the bed. He was just a skeleton of a man. And for a moment, I started reflecting at all them gray hairs he had in his head that I had helped put there. Right? And when I turned around, it was 9 people in the program that had come up there for this newcomer who had heard he lost his father. And one by one, each one of them hugged me. It was this lady who's no longer with us. Her name is Carmelita Witherspoon, who's a counselor up at the program. She hugged me real tight. She said, baby, I love you. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. If you need anything, just let me know. She said, but this is what I really, really, really want to tell you. I want to tell you one thing. That if you go use right now, your father is still dead. Deal with it. It hurt. Rock, holler, scream. That's what Doreen used to say. Get through it. It hurt. But I dealt with it. I had to accept the fact that God had taken my father when it was time for my father to go. And it was a hard piece to do. But I did it, and my life started kicking off. I kept coming back. Things started getting better. I couldn't see they was getting better, but y'all told me they was getting better. I saw it in y'all when I was going to the meetings. I saw the process of recovery happening when I would go to meetings every day, so an importance of seeing people, because I needed hope when I got here, because the drugs had left a vacuum in my life. They had sucked the life out of me. So I needed y'all to help me get back together again. And I didn't see it in me. And I needed y'all to point. Because sponsors said, you've been clean 9 months and hadn't used. And I said, my God, that's right. So I understand when they say your condition is not your conclusion. Wherever God got you at right now, he ain't going to keep you if you believe. That's what the second step say. If you believe that it's going to work, And you keep coming back, it's going to get better. And I kept coming back because very early on, man, I'm looking for a job. And it was so hard to find a job. I had multiple felonies. And it's nothing that I'm gloating about. It's a fact. But because of esteem issues, because of the way I felt about myself, never really feeling good about myself, because by nature, with the fourth step revealed to me, not only am I a sneaky person, and I didn't know I was sneaky until I started telling my sponsor about how many stores I shoplift in. He said, you know, most people who creep and steal wallets and pocketbooks and shoplift are sneaky people. I said, goodness gracious. Did you know that, Thaddeus? You know, did you know that you'll try to get something for nothing if you can get away with it, if you don't think nobody's watching clean? Right? See, I'm serious. All this was being revealed. My patterns was being revealed. So, you know, anyway, I'm trying to get a job, can't get a job, you know, and I'm filling out all these applications. And, oh, man, you know, and I'm not sharing in meetings because I'm still taking advice from my sponsor. And I'm seeing y'all have jobs, and I need a job. And one day I took a risk, put my hand up again. When they said the burning the Zion piece this time, right? I was going to wait till the end of the meeting. I wasn't going to do it in the middle. I did. I was getting a little moment of clarity. Put it up, said, my name is Thaddeus. I'm an addict. Anybody know where they turn? Please let me know after the meeting. And I sat down. And I'm looking around. Nobody said nothing. So I said, I must have said something all right. Something amazing happened again. One more time, something amazing happened. The spirit was happening. You know what I'm saying? And it was so hard, guys, for me to accept my plight when I got here, who I was. A guy who couldn't look you in the eye when I talked to you. A guy who couldn't stand up here and talk about me the way I'm talking about me now. Because when I talk to you, I would talk to my chest. Because I didn't feel good about myself. And these three guys came up to me and they said, Thaddeus, we've been watching you. You come to meetings every day. You sit in the same place and don't open your mouth. Look, they are hiring up at VA hospital. Go up there and apply for the job. I say, what? I say, man, that's the federal government. They say, we know. Go up there and apply. I say, but I got a record. They say, okay, go up there and apply. If God means for you to get the job, you'll get the job. Check this out, Thaddeus. We recover with dignity. We look people in the eye and we tell them the truth, because when it says on the application, if you ever been locked up, say yes. I said, get out of here. Good God Almighty. Because I had been telling them I hadn't been locked up. So I did it. I took a risk. And they said, by the way, when they ask for the interview, when the guy talks to you, you sell yourself. You don't let people hold your past against you. You make people accept you for where you are right now. So I'm not really feeling this, but y'all say do it. I'm new. I don't really know about this new way. So I take a risk. I do it. Go up there, man, and I pray. Sponsors always go into stuff. You have to take emotions out of it when you go into something. I prayed, went up there, did it. And I remember filling out the application. The guy gave it to him, and he looking at it, and he called me in. He said, Mr. McCrae, would you sit down? Look, Mr. Thaddeus, I noticed you got a big gap in your application these years. You know, what have you been doing for the last 9 years? So, you know, I'm new. And I was very graphic, guys, when I told my story, right? I didn't know how to really sell myself without really telling him, getting brutally honest about all the stores I had shoplifted out of. I did. And all the people that I had beat. But if you give me a chance, I'll do a good job. And he was sitting there looking at me, and he said, ho, I'll call you. And I can remember going out the door with my head down, saying, damn, people at Narcotics Anonymous told me to come up here and sell myself. And I went out the door with my head down, not really feeling good about myself, guys. Not really willing to accept my plight, where my plight was, and not really recognizing that God was setting up a scenario that I had no idea that he was even setting up. Because the guy called me 2 weeks later. And when he called me, I went back up there apprehensive, and I went in and I knocked on his door. He said, come on in, come on in, come on in, sit down, sit down. went up there and sat down, my head down on my chest. I'm looking down. He said, look, he said, sir, let me say this. I've been working up here 23 years. And he said, last time you was up here and all that stuff you told me. He said, is that true? And for a minute, I tried to say, no, I was just playing. No, it wasn't true. For a minute, I said, yes, sir, it was true. He said, my goodness, you was a disgrace, son. I said, oh, God, yes, sir, you're right. He said, but you know what? I have never in my life had anybody be that honest with me. Goodness gracious, I'm going to hire you. Oh, my goodness, boy, I felt so good. I said, oh, thank you, God. You know what? It's something about, man, the literature say, man, the humility is the key. You always have to stay in a humble state, okay? Humility, man, is being able to ask for help, but true humility is being able to accept the help when it comes and not dictate how the help comes to you. So thank you. Until he told me what I would be doing. Goodness gracious, I would be a janitor. I had to clean toilets. Check this out. And I felt so bad about that. It was called, I worked in something called environmental services. And I would go to meetings and I say, I got a job in the government. I'm working in environmental services because I just couldn't say that I was a janitor because I didn't feel good about it. I didn't. I was trying to block the blessing God was trying to send my way. And I don't realize this until I shared it with my sponsor. He said, what is wrong with you? He said, what is wrong, Thaddeus? You know, because I would sit on my bed in the morning when I got up. I sit on the side of the bed. I said, I got to go to this job. I hate this job. Goodness gracious. Why I got to go here and clean toilets? And all day long, I would be miserable. He said, you know why you're miserable? Because you keep telling yourself that you don't like it. Anytime you go into something negative, what you think you're going to get out of it? You need to change your attitude to an attitude of gratitude. Thank God that he gave you a job. Understand, somebody would love to be right where you are right now. And understand, your condition is not your conclusion. He's not going to keep you there if you keep coming back. So I started changing my attitude and being grateful that I had the job that I had. And I went there and started doing the best job that I could be. And my life started getting better. I started going through the step process. I started cleaning up some of the wreckage of my past. I was able to put some people on the list that I had done a lot of irreparable harm to, which was not easy. But I did it because you say, the sponsor would say, how can you stay clean? Because see, what was happening with me, I was letting my past, the reason why he said you had to clean up your past, he said, because your past will hold you hostage in your present. And you won't be able to move to your future. So you need to clean this up. You need to forgive yourself. And I did that. And I started making amends and my life started getting better a day at a time. And you know what would happen? I think here now, all through my recovery, through the ups and downs, through losing the sponsee that passed, through having people in my life, and I understand now why God puts people in your life. Because sponsor would always say that God is going to put people in your life because you're the one who need the most help. Right? You, Daddies, you're sick. You think he's putting all these guys and ladies in your life so you can help them? He's putting them in your life so they can help you. Because in order to help people, in order to feed, you have to get fed. You understand what I'm saying? So when the guy that I used to have to go back and hug, the guy that talked to me the way he talked to me at the meeting, what I had to learn is that everybody is not where you want them to be or where you think that they're going to be, Thaddeus. You understand what I'm saying? Your acceptance is always the key. You know, first step say, man, you can admit all day you're an addict, but if you don't accept that you can't ever, 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 ever use, you're going to use. That's one of the keys. And I had to do that. So what happened, going into my 18th year, probably my hardest year since I've been here. And predecessors would say, the longer you stay clean, the harder it is. I didn't understand that. You know, and my experience is the harder you stay clean, the harder it is because, you know, as you stay clean, recovery gives you a life. Recovery will have you thinking that you're all right. You don't need to go to that many meetings. You don't need to pray. You don't need to call no sponsor, run nothing past nobody. Again, humility is the key. I haven't outgrown my sponsor, guys. I hold my sponsor with a level of reverence, which means respect. that God has guided me. So my mother, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had congestive heart failure. Let me take that back. And who's one of my enablers? She told me and my sister when she was diagnosed, she said, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die because with congestive heart failure, you don't get better. But I don't want to die in the hospital. I want to go home and die. Right? So my sister and I made the decision to take Mama home to the house and take care of her for her last days. Okay? Now, thank God for y'all. Thank God for the foundation that had been laid, the grounding and recovery that had been laid, the step work. When we talking about you're going to find out how your defects can really kind of crop up when your impatience and your intolerance, when Mama move a little slow and you got to do all this, and that's when you're going to have to really call on your program. And it was a lot of days. It was taxing. If I get honest with you, it was hard. And I had y'all to help me when I was in one of them spaces when I was saying, you know what, I just don't feel like changing no more diapers. I don't feel like wiping. I don't feel like lifting and putting on the pot. And one of you spiritual addicts, and I, God, no, for real, would say, well, Thaddeus, don't you remember when Mama changed your diaper? Don't you remember when Mama put you on the pot? And it would bring me back into perspective why I'm really here. The 12-step talks about carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. Service is the highest honor that you can have in this program, being of service to somebody. Mom used to always say that, boys, it's better to give than to receive. You know what I'm saying? And the more you give, the more you receive, right? So all them days when Mama used to come down Lorton to bring packages, all them days when Mama used to lay up late at night wondering where her grown son that should have been taking care of her was, you know, now it's in reverse. Now I had an opportunity to be there for her. So put your little soft feelings aside and man up, grow up. Because the process of recovery is about getting mature, about growing up, about becoming a man, not talking like a man, but being a man. Because I'm going to place you in a position that you're going to work for me now, Thaddeus. You're going to help somebody else. And I did it. And she passed. And we put her away good. And I was so happy that my mother had her son for the last 17 years. So, you know, just for today, I don't want to use, guys. I'm not going to ever say I will never use again because that's too arrogant for me. I have a desire not to use. That's why I keep coming back. I have a desire not to use just for today. I have a desire to be the best person that I could be just for today. I have a desire to accept my life wherever it is just for today. Because, God, if it pleases you, it pleases me. It's when I can get out the way. So, again, I want to thank the committee. I want to thank you people, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you. Love you too. All right. Thank you.